that means. Afterthought podcast, get locked and loaded in a few minutes. You know, let me make sure I got my boy on here. Right, sounding good. You sound good, Jay. I sound good too. I sound good on your end.
You sound good. You sound good.
New York City in the building. Come on in, y'all. Come on in. That's right. As you can see, we're here with the gang. Myself, JP Campbell. Tiff will not be with us tonight. She's okay. She just won't be with us tonight. She'll be back with us next week. So yeah, you tuning in with us right now. What's going on, everybody, on the check-in? If you see our face right now, that means you are either watching on Twitter, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, or IG. Shout out to everybody on IG. What's good, Jay? How you feeling, bro? What's going on with you?
Bro, let me tell you something. I'm actually feeling very, very, very blessed. I'm not gonna hold you, man. It's been a good week so far. Productive week.
Right.
You know, one thing that I find funny, man, in a good way, is like, you sometimes you have to have moments or situations where it's like, you know, you get an unexpected blessing or someone throw you a lob that you wasn't expecting. Fast. And then boom, it come through. Like when you have that feeling, and especially from situations and dealing with tough times, and then you get some real good news and things that I was lying, you'd be like, man, yeah, people really like, you just realize how blessed you are. So, yeah, you know, that's little things like that, man, it just adds to the positivity of how you feel, how you go about your day.
That made me think of like, whenever anybody, shout out to everybody on the check-in right now. Lou, what up? Everybody on the Facebook. That reminds me, like, you ever got like some bread, like out of nowhere?
Yeah.
Like a nice, we ain't talking about a little change. We talking about some, you know, some money. And the first thing you do, you be like, hold up, let me see how I'm gonna do this. You always,
you start thinking about things quickly. But I tell you this much though too, even when you ain't have it, and you find that like $10 on the floor, or that $5 on the floor, or you was a little hungry, and now you could go get that sandwich, bro. You go get that slice. Those come through just as much, man.
You be too
lit. Quick look downs, $5 here, $20 there. You go especially get you something to eat.
Especially when that direct deposit hit. You know,
folks. Yeah, like, man.
When I was young, I was still cashing checks. You know what I'm saying? But
oh yeah, I remember that, bro. Cashing checks when I was at the Department of Health, man. But that was a thing. Like, we ain't have no direct deposit then.
Yeah.
Cashing checks was. And you was excited.
Woo. That's a fact. What up, y'all? What up,
excited.
So we got a dope show for y'all tonight.
Yes.
We got a special guest coming on tonight. She is a producer, a comedian, hell of a writer, and just overall funny ass force to be reckoned with. And I think a lot of, you know, what happens in comedy is so much going on, especially in the virtual world. You know, she's somebody that has transformed, you know, the whole comedy Twitch and from home and the Zilla vision. So Zilla Vodnas will be with us tonight.
Okay.
I'm excited. I'm excited to have her on.
I'm excited.
She got a show running every day of the week. You thought I was bad. She got it. Listen, she is running the game right now. So, which is dope because I've definitely seen her in the comedy circuit, you know, for at least almost 5 to 7 years that I've been doing it more heavier and in that grind. So it's just like, I've seen her in the game. So it's just dope to be able to have her on here.
Most definitely.
It's all comedy and all that good stuff. So,
I got a question for you. Cause you know, we recap on like what people been watching or what they've been catching up with. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Biggie documentary on Netflix yet?
Not yet. I didn't see it yet. But
watch it.
But I heard it was pretty good.
This was the best.
I think the assumption is like, oh, it's the same thing. It's going to be
this right here, I'm telling you right now, this right here is the right way to tell his story from a personal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
From the people closest to him, those who it felt very real. Yeah. And I loved, and very authentic. Like, it wasn't right. any fluff. And you're very enthralled and entertained, and you're focused on him. Like, it's not really sensationalized. You were just focused on Big. So, you know, I think this is the best work I've seen in regards to Big.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely a must watch. You know what else is coming out on Friday?
Hold on. Is he in your top five?
Of course.
He's in mine. I just want to do a top five. You know what I'm saying? I know we got it. Shout out to Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's definitely in there. But guy, what you was gonna say? You said something else you want to watch.
I was gonna say, coming to America Friday. And all this build up.
How you
and as a comedian, you see a lot of comedians in this in the previews and the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a bit of a skeptic because, you know, I don't like ruining classics.
Mm-hmm.
And Coming to America is in my top five too for movies. I mean, that movie
by far is gonna go down in history. I think one of the greatest things Eddie Murphy ever created. That shit. Listen, his mama call him Clay. I'm gonna call him Clay.
You know, yeah. Are you looking forward to it? What are your feelings? What are your expectations? Because
I'm just confused a little bit. I'm hearing Eddie Murphy had a kid out of wedlock somewhere else. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, like, how they gonna stretch that? And I'm interested to see how it does play out. So I am excited to see if they can at least live up to the first one, at least break even. If you can't kill it, at least break even and give us a solid movie. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I feel. So.
Nah, that's real. That's real. And you know.
I got something for you I've been watching. I've been watching a lot of the news lately. You know, shout out to my guys, Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo. You know where I'm going with this. The governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, Chris Cuomo's brother, allegedly, you know, there's some sexual harassment allegations from two interns possibly that have worked for him or in the past or currently. But I'm hearing that there was a third woman that came forward. So, Cuomo is in the hot seat right now, you know, and what's crazy is there's Democrats asking him to resign. So how you feel about that? And I'm going to go off that.
I'm going to tell you this much, because I saw something that shout out to Shanae when she was on a few weeks ago. PR right. Maven, guru, superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And something that she said that it really resonated with me, and it made me think. She's like, you know, think twice before you send that text, before you send that message in the DM. You know, if you're not sure that that's the type of time you want with someone,
better
don't even do it.
Don't even roll that dice.
Mm-hmm. She's like, especially when you're in the positions that he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you have so much to lose, he should be more mindful and aware. And I'm not saying this to excuse it, because sexual assault is not acceptable, period.
Oh, of course.
Unsolicited advances, not acceptable, period. We do not co-sign sucker shit. We are not here for quick.
And you know, I got to jump in there because, you know, he gave a semi-apology, you know, to the allegations, not so much taking responsibility of anything like that. So I think, you know, I just wanted to throw that in. I find that odd a little bit, you know what I'm saying, that you're more talking to he's talking to the allegations versus, nigga, like, it's, come on, bro. We seen you with the nipple rings, fam. Like, we seen you with the nipple rings during the pandemic, early pandemic. And we're going to need you to cut the weirdo shit out. I'm just going to be honest. Cuomo looks like He looks like he is a part of a biker club in like upstate New York and like Elm somewhere. Cuomo, Bear Mountain.
Cuomo is a real life eligible bachelor. Like I'm like not even going to hold you. Cuomo right. probably have his DMs lit with
right.
all kinds of women trying to throw it at him. And when you get and unfortunately he can have that, and then when you're in the power of position with like of when you're in a position of power, excuse me, the way right. he is, and you have to make authoritarian, you know, people are drawn to it. Women are attracted to that. It's kind of like
dating, he was dating the chef, Sandra Lee, for a long time. So I mean, you know, I mean he's moving
in these streets.
He's definitely moving. Cuomo's moving, but I'm gonna be honest, he looks like he be doing weird shit. Like
he does.
And we talked about this, Jay. We talked about this. Go back. We on the Afterthought Podcast live. We
right.
talked
you right, Joe.
A whole three-part series, and we talked about, you know, this is a perfect segue to bring it back. I feel like all these men, the Epsteins, those men in power, abusing their power for like sexual harassment or, you know, for advances or whatever the situation is. I truly believe like these motherfuckers was weirdos in junior high school and high school. They couldn't get any girls. They were sitting alone in the cafeteria eating their boogers type dudes. Like these were the dudes that was just like just weird. Like, bro, like can you not be weird? Like
I'm gonna tell you the difference. You're right, and we did talk about that. The difference I think with Cuomo is that he always, you gotta realize, his pops was the governor. He was always like he was in Queens, like he was a mixy guy in Queens. Like he wasn't like
Queens is like we don't claim him. Queens like we don't claim Cuomo.
They not
like,
claiming Trump either now. You know,
facts. What up, y'all?
We gotta take that Trump L too.
What up? But man? Yeah, this is crazy.
It's unfortunate, mm-hmm. and I always. But what I do want to do though is that I wish that whenever mm-hmm. we had situations like this, we had open, respectful, safe mm-hmm. platforms for all parties to be able to speak their truths.
Of course.
Because the problem is that we don't hear enough from those, and we hear so many opinions, we don't really allow for the voices to fully be heard of those who were victims and mm-hmm. those who were accused. Mm-hmm. Because there are instances on both sides where the one who was accused doesn't get to have their voice, and sometimes they were wrong.
Yeah.
And then there are instances where we have victims who are shamed so much that they never find the power or find the strength to be able to use their voice and speak up and speak out. Mm-hmm. And we need more open, safe spaces for everyone.
That's a to fact. Now
say and have time to comfortably express what it is they're feeling or what they experienced or what they went through. And then you go from there. The court of public opinion takes over too much. Like that's everyone wants, you know, unfortunately, we want instant gratification, instant results on both sides mm-hmm. instead of really letting the due process play out. I want due process to play out. I want all voices to be heard and all voices to be respected. And once it's all been said and done, then we make your assessments. I just don't like mm-hmm. when, you know, we jump the gun. Either way, like it's unfortunate. I hate to see the victim blaming and victim shaming. And because you know, when people say, oh, well, who's paying her to do this? Or who's like, sometimes it's not people just paying someone to do this. Or like, there's a lot of people who pretend to be really, really, really cool. And that's then really be having some fucked up tendencies about them.
Well, we're going to talk about that. We that's something, like, I felt like that was something that we had to touch base tonight. We had to touch that Cuomo shit. you know, especially for the governor, you're supposed to be 6 feet anyway, nigga. Like, I don't even know why you all up on these women. Like, first of all, like you shouldn't even be, you should be in close enough to be conversation. Like, ask on. Like, but yeah, but before we bring Zilla in, she's in the virtual building.
Hey.
I'm excited. Get her on there, talk some comedy, talk her grind, and more about her origin story. But I'm gonna do the segue like this. Normally with Tiff here, we do the ain't this some bullshit with Tiff, right? And I want to bring something to the forefront in place of that and still honor and ask Zilla about it when she comes on too. But I don't understand how motherfuckers fit 25 people in an 8-seater SUV. And when I say that, I'm not even trying to be funny, you know what I'm saying? Like, because people are like, yo, you know, so I heard people on TikTok already trying to do challenges, but I'm talking about the car accident, not car accident, SUV being hit by the semi truck in California on my coast, where I'm at actually. And there was 25 people in there, 13 were dead on site, like literally as soon as the impact, and 11 are dealing with near death injuries. And I'm saying to myself, this is an 8-seater, ladies and gentlemen. 8-seater. They only had 2 seats, the front, the passenger. The rest was the back seats, the third row, was gone. But I still couldn't, I'm still right now asking, how do you fit? Like, that's got to be a smuggler situation. Like, let's be honest.
Not
like
to be, you know.
Like, was this the 3 o'clock shift? Was this the 3 o'clock bus that was coming? I'm trying to figure out like, it's just crazy. That was some bullshit.
It's unfortunate. It is. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. It's sad. May all the souls, may God rest their souls. And I hope that those continue in the fight and those who were injured continue to fight and
I'm definitely praying for their pain
and live and praying for their health and recovery for their families. You know, unfortunately, Joe, there's a significant issue with human trafficking around the world, and especially in this country.
Yeah.
You know, I remember my junior year in college, because I had to finish up some. Yeah, after you pledge, you know, you got to go to summer school, get them credits up, make sure everything's situated. But I took a course on human trafficking in the third world countries.
Yeah.
So it was like an elective for my sociology major. And I was reading a bunch of different books about how this happens all over the, you know, former Soviet bloc countries. And we did a lot of focus there. And then there's also been a lot of that happening throughout different countries in Africa. I want to say Kenya. I may be getting the country wrong.
You've seen the movie one, two, and three. I'm just saying, like
there's been too many women and girls disappearing.
Facts.
Being trafficked across country lines, across state lines. Yeah. And when you hear stories like this, it makes me think about all of the struggles that they're going through.
Yeah.
All the struggles that their families are going through.
It's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. And we're gonna talk more about it later, but we gotta get Zilla in here. She's been waiting on ladies and gentlemen, let's give her Afterthought podcast welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, comedian, writer, actress, dope individual in the comedy game.
Oh my goodness.
Make some noise, you know. I know we was real serious, Zilla, but we gonna get it. We're gonna make it light right now.
I was about to say, I follow some bullshit, but no one's ever talked about an intensely tragic car accident.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Word. So this is what we're gonna do. You know, when we have comedians come on, we give them a solid 5. To do their thing, and it's a perfect time.
Can we talk about the car crash first? I need to cleanse my
Let's do that. Talk.
Good. Okay. So immediately when you said that, right? So you told the story. I'm up on the real tragic stories. I'm not gonna front. I like me a fucked up story. I be reading the newspaper like, goddamn, and like, you know, shit blow your mind. This story is tragic. Like y'all mentioned, there is the possibility that there might have been human trafficking involved, which is a huge bite in this country and upon humanity. And people do very little about it. So we got that situated. Right. Human trafficking is wrong. All I could immediately think, you know, I come from, as a kid, I rode in the back of a truck like nothing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So unfortunately, there's man factors here. There's culture. There's lack to, maybe you absolutely know that if those people could have had a second car, they would have transported. What was, where right, was right, going? Right. No, but like, you know, you think about shit like the dollar van is illegal, but you know how many people in the city rely on the super dangerous dollar van? That's, do you know what I mean? Like, what have we done wrong in a society? So that's like the first thing I will say, you know. We need to up forms of transportation for everybody. The train needs to get better. We demand this now. The roads get better because, yo, that's so crazy, man. Those people died for nothing. You know, like all of those things could have been avoided.
That's a fact. It's a fact. Yeah. It's a fact.
You know, and I know it's very easy to be like, yo, oh, people can be so stupid. But you got to think there's like a million reasons why. Immediately, all I started was like, damn, this story, we're going to read in the newspaper the top level of that story. There's so many layers to that story. Yeah, y'all put me right in on a car wreck and saying that Epstein and Cuomo.
Exactly. What an intro. Right? Right? So,
you were like, tell me creeps don't be creeping. Then you were like, you right. That's the whole conversation.
We ain't shit. So look, let's give him a hot five. If you've never seen it perform, I can't wait for things to open back up. But you get a taste right here. Ladies and gentlemen, give it your undivided for a hot five here on Afterthought. Make some noise for Zilla V on the hot five.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, how you guys doing? my name's Zilla. I'm very glad to be here. Welcome to the fanciest corner of my house. Because that's how you do on Zoom. You know what I mean? You take all your dope shit and you set it up real nice so you can give the impression, you know, that you're doing all right. As you can see, I have a light back there. It's controlled by my phone, which is kind of cool. Hold on. Let's see if I could do it. Let me see. Am I? Yeah. Yeah. Also, if you're wondering, every single one of these books is stolen. That's right. That's my calling card. I be hooking up with somebody, and then when I knock them out, you know, I give them good love, them knock them out, walk up to the bookshelf, boop, take a single book out, and just bounce through the window. Yo, this chick is wild. You know, they don't even know how to explain to their boys the next day what went down. The internet is in uproar right now. I don't know if y'all know, there's like this war, but we're between millennials and then the next generation. They like judging each other. First and foremost, I just want to establish that I was born in 1982. I'm 38 years old, and I got my first personal computer at age 19. So I'm a weird millennial, you know, because I remember before computers, quit playing, you know. It's like, but I remember when there was no blue M&Ms, you know. Right. You know about those times. The 80s was wild, y'all. We didn't play with the Russians. You know, now people be like, oh, the Russians this, the Russians that. Well, we was in the 80s, yo. All the Hollywood movies was telling you that Russians was like the most evil people on the planet. Except for Rocky. Rocky used to fuck me up because, yo, his wife is fine. I saw that movie as a kid and they was like, fuck the Russians. I was like, but wait, fuck the Russians, girl. sexy little thing, but yes. So I like to break down my millennial status this way. I feel like millennials, there's a lot of us. It's like from 1981, I think, you know, to much later. I break it into two groups. Older millennials, I call them millennials. Yo, because remember when Will Smith was the most famous man in the world? I remember, yo, he was dancing with aliens, punching aliens, doing all sorts of shit in every one of the movies. He had an album. Oh, my goodness. Will Smith. The other day, I'm talking to my niece about Will Smith. She said, who, Jaden Daddy? I said, how dare you? At the very least, He's Jada's husband. You know, come on, say it right. Sorry. Yes. I was like, little girl, how dare you speak ill of the man who said party in the city where the heat is on? Y'all remember that corny shit? Anyway. So we got millennials, and then I got post-millennials. And post-millennials is kids who will see a face tattoo, and they won't even be shook. Yo, when I was a kid, face tattoos was serious business. Y'all didn't get a face tattoo. Yo, word. Back in the day, when I was a kid, they used to tell us that if someone had a teardrop tattoo, that means they killed somebody. Or if they went to jail, it was they almost killed somebody. Or if they came out of jail with one, that meant that someone killed their boy, and then they had to avenge their death. That's just so serious. Oh my God.
Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, all the face tattoos back in the day were scary. Right now, the only thing scary about a face tattoo is that your parents probably not gonna, you know, show me your picture no more. You know, your parents is, get that to your parents. They
that's
don't.
Actually funny though. Word.
I'm gonna end it on this. The funniest thing that they be arguing about online now is like they be like, oh, your style's whack. No, your style's whack. And one of the things they talk about is the side part. Now I'm team side part, but apparently that makes me an old lady. So I'm supposed to be. Let me see. Hold on. I'm supposed to be team center part, but bro, as soon as I do it, I look like a little boy who want to copy your fucking homework. What the fuck is this? You know what I mean? And they hit him with a mustache. I'm like Sam Elliott in this bitch. Me ho. You know, the center part fucked me up. The only way I'm going to fix this center part is if I grow it out real long and I'll be like the 22nd lonely. Thank you for having me come do my top five.
Yo, you crazy. Yo, you said the little boy that copies your homework. Everybody in here done had that boy in that class. Yo, you are crazy, and I think this is a perfect segue. Like, as we're diving into getting to know you more, how did you get your start in comedy? Especially as a woman in comedy, what was that like for you? Where was that at? What was that inspiration, and how'd you get that? How'd you get to, you know, that start?
You know, I always tell people I couldn't have done comedy in like my 20s because I think I was still like very much cared what people think. I care what people think, but like I think when you're younger, like you're real eager to impress people. So I knew I was like good with words and funny, but I was also like, you know, I was never like, yo, I'm gonna go on stage one day and just say shit. But later on, you know, build up my confidence, and then I went to a burlesque show at Joe's Pub in the city. And burlesque is a beautiful it's a beautiful art form of striptease, and the dude is hosting, and he's like, oh, this comedian, and he was terrible, like terrible. And I was there with my homegirls, and I was like, hold up, you just need to be like type witty and funny, and you get to hang out with beautiful women and like do those shit. And this dude is doing it bad. Like, right? You know, like, so I was like kind of mad. I was like, bro, he got paid. And my friend jokingly, she goes, yo, you should do that. I'll come see you. Like, if you start doing it, I'll watch you try. So I was like, what? And it was like, boom, from that point on, I was like, I'm going to try to be good at that. Like, I want to do that. I feel like, wow. You know. And I always liked storytelling. And when I was a little kid, like, I won the storytelling contest in like fifth grade. So I used to be like, you know, real, real sassy, but I don't know. I was that one, yo, I swear to God, a burlesque show. I was like, this dude, yeah. I'm funnier than him. Like, give me money to hang out with the women. You know? Women, you know? I'm not trying to bag the ladies like that, like, you know, but like it was just the whole fact. Like, I think show business is the best. Like, to be able to hang out with people and make money, making people laugh and smile, top of the pop, man.
Yep. Facts. Yep. So, I mean, have you gotten this before? You know, when I first seen you perform, it was, I want to say 2 years ago. I want to say it was downtown. I'm trying to figure out what club it was at. But you gave me Rosie Perez vibes.
Oh, I get that all the time. All the time. And yeah. I would be, normally I would be like, yo, that's fucked up. But we literally are both from Bushwick. We're both Puerto Rico. We're both New Yorkers. I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to fight nobody about this shit, you know? But it's in the way that we all know somebody exactly like Cardi B, you know, yeah. You all got the one homegirl. That's a very like city thing, you know, like,
yeah.
It's a personality type, but I hopefully am like, I try to, so I fought, it's funny you asked me about like when I first started comedy, the one thing that I think at first, you know, I remember when I went to go, Catch a Rising Star was doing the like auditions. The woman was like, yo, we'll put you up if you're only doing Puerto Rican comedy. We really need more like ethnic comedy. And I was insulted, you know, like,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't because she didn't say like, oh, that was great. Like she didn't step to me and be like, we like you. We like that. Instead, she was like, you need to do that for us to like, for you to feel relevant here. Like, we don't want to hear you talk about regular shit. Just, we need a person to put up for Latin night. And I was like, wow, like, you know what I mean? Like, we do so much more. Yeah. So like, I'll take, I always take the compliment, but that's also why I don't really talk about, I think I try to change it up on people. So I'll be like, yo, I'm gonna talk about some dumb shit, but I'm sassy. But if I did like all dating material, that's what I think they want me to do. They want me to do like do dating material, right? But I'm like, no. But what if I part my hair for real and we laugh at myself? You know what I'm
saying? Right.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm feeling you on that. Go ahead, Jay.
I'm glad you mentioned that because you know, a lot of times, you know, we hear with women in comedy, they want to put you in a box, and I'm glad you didn't want to stay there. Like you said, I want to do more. I'm going to be myself. I'm not going to let you tell me what it is I need to do. Like, I think that's just dope. I'm happy to hear you say stuff like that. So I also want to know about like, what do you enjoy doing as far as like your writing, like your creative process, like before you're on stage, before you like, all right, this is what I'm going to hit them with. Like, do you kind of feel out the room first? Do you kind of know, all right, I have certain things prepared, lined up, how I want to get them? Like, what's your approach before you, like, touch down in the room? Or before you, like, do your five like you just did?
I think for right now, I'm really mindful of, like, I know we have gone through a pandemic in which, like, almost everybody knows somebody who passed. So like I'm always very mindful of just trying to see what type of joy the room is trying to have. And if I'm in a room and like especially a Zoom room, and I try my best to watch everybody who goes up before me just to get like a temperature of what they're doing and how people react. And like if people went political and I saw that turn the room off, I do my really silly political jokes. I still do them. Because especially like around the election, shit was so tense that I felt like you had to kind of talk about it because it'd be kind of weird if you did it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But I am very mindful of like, if I feel, okay, so I try, it's hard. You try to put an escape hatch in a joke. So you could do one line of it. And if they're not feeling it.
I know what you mean.
Out. You know, then you write, you have another follow-up joke that just leads you right out of that premise because you're like, damn, I they're not feeling this. That being said, I still think it's very important as a comic to just follow your gut. So, there was a couple of times I went more lighthearted and then you'd be done and you're like, nah, man, that's not what I wanted to tell them. You know, like,
so, yeah.
So it's
that's what happens. It happens like that. You get, and that's why you don't drink. Well, it's not good to drink too much before a set because then your mind gets, because what happens is for me, I try to just be relatable. But at the same time, I got a lot of shit in them escape routes that I be wanting to bring in to the set. So instead of trying to get out, I'd be like, oh, I could bring this in because this one line, they liked it. You know what I'm saying?
That's also, that's where you have the flexibility. But you know, it's funny, like I was telling that like, millennials post millennials joke. I've been telling it for a while. And I remember one night at the Creek, a lady stood up and said, no, you're wrong. And I was like, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was like, millennials were not born that like late. And I was like, she was wearing a black turtleneck. And all that came to me was, it always be the bitch in a black turtleneck. All I said.
But that was perfect.
Just changed the joke. Because I was like, we not. She just said I was wrong. And it's so confusing. I felt like everyone was like, do we believe you anymore? You
know, like, what?
Is this bitch in the turtleneck right? I was like, we need to change the subject.
That's a fact. speaking of changing it, do you still work in education? I was doing some digging. I saw that you are NY, teacher, yeah. NYC, but I'm a dean as well.
I am not teaching now, but I was a teacher for 8 years. I was a New York City high school teacher. I work with students on the autism spectrum and students with emotional disabilities.
Clap it up for that. Salute to that. That is hard work. Women of color out there doing it, you know what I'm saying?
It was beautiful. And you know, I can't lie, like one of the greatest joys, it was a rough couple of years, but one of the greatest joys was I got to teach like maybe 15 minutes from where I grew up. And so like being able to be like, I'm helping some like in Bushwick was really dope, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, seeing you see the change, but the reason why I was bringing it up, I'm an educator myself, NYC Board of Education. Obviously, due to the pandemic, I'm like, nah, I'm a parent, so I ain't trying to get myself, but I'm not doing the remote shit, but I've put in a lot of work in the Lower East Side, the Bronx, and Harlem. But yeah, imagine me being your dean. Like, it's no jokes. It's dead ass serious, though. It's like,
yo, that's dope, though. Yeah.
Get your ass to class. Cool. Good morning. All right, but get to class. Right.
But so, that's what the you know, it's funny. I was telling someone that, like, it's, I never really, other than that lady who was like, you're wrong. I was like, I bet I'm wrong, and change the subject. Like, the way we deal with hecklers as people who used to be educators is way different from. Like, someone told me once, it doesn't bother you when an audience ignores you. I said, man, I used to get ignored all day at work. People just be in the mood sometimes. You got to learn how to read people. Being a teacher, I learned how to read people. There was kids, mm-hmm. One of the number one things is like, you know, I grew up in a house where we wasn't allowed to have bad days. They did not, my dad grew up in Puerto Rico. He was not having, dad, I'm having a bad day. We had to be good 24/7. But sometimes when you're a teacher, you know, and in these times, kids come in and be like, miss, I'm not having a good day. And I'd be like, all right, bet. Thanks for letting me know. And we have a good day. You know, it's just so like.
That's it.
So that's, I feel like that's how you read audiences. Mm-hmm. That's like bringing it back to that. You can tell people are listening. They're not listening. You do one thing. Is it awesome to, the hardest I've ever worked on a joke, workshopping it, was a joke, the only joke I wrote about Trump. And it took me like so long because I didn't want to say his name on stage. I had to figure out a way to talk about the president without saying the president's name. And it was incredibly hard. And there was,
I can imagine.
I tried to tell that joke to somebody and there was nothing. And then there was other days where people would come up to me after and be like, yo, that joke is great. So like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
You hit and miss, And then thankfully that joke is useless. Man, I was waiting for that joke to be useless. I mean, hope. Fingers crossed he don't come back.
Yeah. No, I feel that. And you're somebody who has pivoted well to the virtual. You have not only, I mean, I pay attention to a lot. I pay attention, not because I just feel like I need to know who's doing what and who are the power players in the game. And when I say you are somebody that I feel is overlooked in the game of who's, you can easily be writing for Saturday Night Live, like a Mad TV situation, because I feel like you're super creative and you channel that regardless of what's going on. And it's not easy transitioning during the pandemic, and what you've been doing with the Zilla Vision. I got to perform on her show, which is, she just had one last night, on Tuesday nights, right? It's every Tuesday. And it's just like, honestly, like, you're somebody that has provided a virtual platform that's actually hella entertaining to watch. I'm sitting there laughing, like, she's funny as hell herself, but the comedians, I'm like, oh shit, I gotta perform in this shit. This shit is fun. Like, so, like, if you ever get a chance, check her out, Zilla Vision. But yeah, talk to us about how's the transition been with the virtual, and how you've been able to stay creative since the pandemic has started, going on a year now.
So the first thing, I'm very much like, if I'm sad, it's very hard for me to really attack comedy in the way. So like, if in my real life, I'm upset. So like, the first bit of the pandemic, it was a little bit of a freeze. You know what I mean? Because like, my was like so overloaded with like, wow, you know, the world shut down and this big, you know, so it wasn't like you like, oh, haha, that's so funny. And like writing shit down as much as you normally are. What I ended up doing with that was, I own a lot of photography equipment. Like, I went to film school, and so like, I had all of this stuff. I used to work so much, I never used it. And I was finally like, I was like, yo, if my stand-up brain is not working right now, let me try and work on other shit. So the first thing I did was I watched old music videos and talked shit over them. And I made a video of me making fun of these like crazy, awesome, weird videos. And I called it ZTV, like MTV.
Yeah.
So I would do it like my head. Okay, so I was like, yo, let me just be Puerto Rican Beavis and Butthead, right? But me, by myself. So I put it up and people responded to them. It was bizarre. Like, not bizarre, but like, I was like, oh shit, you know? Like, I don't know if you know, Freestyle Music, Latin Freestyle. There's this old freestyle dude who used to sing Stevie B. So I did a Stevie B video, and Stevie B, like, retweeted it. So, you know, like, funny shit was happening. Wow. I was like, I was able to... a really like silly thing happened, and I was able to make people happy in this miserable time. Then the summer happened. So you remember, Joe, right? Like, the weather got better in the city and in New York, and then like all the rooftop comedy started up, right?
Tiny cupboard.
All that stuff, right? So I started doing rooftop comedy, and a weird thing happened, which was, New York has changed. The demographic has changed. And when you go to a lot of these, when you go to a lot of these like Bushwick shows now, it's all white 22-year-olds, which I wouldn't be mad at, but that's a lot of y'all all in one room. Like, let's mix it up. I like a mixed audience. So a lot of the times, I kid you not, a dope show, fantastic lineup. Like, I remember once I watched, I was at a rooftop show, Tiny Cupboard, Charles McBee performs. Charles McBee is hitting them with like Carlin level jokes about Black Lives Matters. And there's girls with their cell phones taking pictures. Nobody's laughing. I was like, okay. So, between the commute and the danger of doing live, a lot of shows, I was like, let me not stop doing online. Let me do half and half, switch.
Smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then when it got cold again and then the numbers spiked, it was just like segueing right into, that whole time I'd already been doing online comedy. So by that point, the people at Comedy Hub reached out to me and they were like, yo, we see that you're doing this. Do you want to do our Tuesday nights? And then, you know, I say yes. And like, it's been
really, shout out to them. Word.
Yeah, it's been really dope. And also, they have like, it's so cool to tell jokes to people from all over. Like last night, Andre D. Thompson did the show, and he was
ranting. Andre, that's my guy.
Yeah, I love Andre. And he's ranting, and in Twitch, people are freaking out because they're responding and you know, like, to picking little parts of his jokes.
It's a different type of machine. For those that know, if you ever watch comedy on Twitch, you're getting comments on the same box like you are now on StreamYard. Shout out to StreamYard. But it's like a million comments at one time. Like,
sometimes, so as a host, it's like my favorite because they'll say something during a comic set and there's not a heckle because the comic doesn't hear it, right?
Right.
Then at the end of the set, I get to tell them, yo, people love this. They don't. Yeah, and that's what was funny. Like yesterday, Andre, if you bump into him, you tell him about it. He was like, I don't care about politics, his whole set, which was hilarious. So then by the end of our conversation, though, everyone on Twitch convinced him to run for president. I said, look, you see? I was like, you started tonight by coming into this, like, I don't like politics, and Twitch convinced him to run for president. You know, like, you don't get right. that difference. Now, do I miss a warm room? Do I miss, you know, having a bourbon after my set and on the, you know what I mean? Do I right. not? I miss that, yes. But more than anything, I want everybody to be safe and, like, you know, for 25 people, stop dying in goddamn vans.
Yeah. Get in there, Jay. I know you got another question.
Yeah. You know what I'm asking, Joe? What we always yeah. ask our comedians. We have them on. When we always have our comedians on, Zilla, it's you and you get four other and an honorable mention to be on a show with you. Comedians, top five comedians, dead, alive, currently. All right. So you want on that bill with you.
I got you.
Go ahead, let's do it.
Yeah.
So it's me and who? Four other?
Five other. You get five other.
Oh my goodness. You're
five. Your top five.
Okay. Okay. So a lot of people will go moms, but I'm going to go LaWanda Page. LaWanda Page was the neighbor in Sanford and Son. She was a very dirty comic. And if you ever seen her own records, I always love one blue comic. Like one straight up blue comic. We got it. All right. So LaWanda Page. I got to throw Eddie in there because I'm sorry. Eddie in the Leather. That's what made me love comedy. You know, like he's going to hit you with like an Elvis impression. And a, you know, yes. So I got LaWanda, Eddie, Richard. I didn't mention this. So I love Richard Pryor as a comic, but I would also love to pick his brain apart on, you know, God rest his soul. But like, I would have loved the night to ask him about his show. If you ever watched his sketch show, it is just
Yes. I would love to be in that room.
You got to watch the Richard Pryor roast with the cast members.
Yes. That is amazing.
Tim Reed is hilarious. I'm talking, you know,
John Witherspoon, Paul Mooney,
Robin Williams.
Hilarious.
Yeah, but she's right. You just hilarious. That's a throwback to it right there.
Then I would add Bernie, because you always need a mean comic. Someone just mean and bully the audience. I would just be so proud. And so you know,
LaWanda Page, Eddie Murphy, Pryor, Bernie Mac. Go ahead.
Yes. And to round it out, because I think she's criminally underrated, this will have to be a tie, but I'm going to go with Wanda Sykes because her special, she did. If it's not Wanda, it would be Runner Up Some More. Because those are two women who I feel. You know, I feel like if they was dudes, it's rare. Like I bring up, like I'm gonna just fight for my own shit, like in comedy. You know what I mean? It's rare.
Right.
You know, but I feel like if Some More and Wanda Sykes was dudes, they would have more cachet because they're both doing dope stuff.
That's a fact.
Yeah,
that's,
you know? That's a fact.
That's a good question.
I love that list. Yep. I love that list.
Yep.
You know, we've got a lot of interesting lists. But Zilla, your list might be closest to my personal favorites.
You got the Wanda Sykes in there. I would have put Wanda in there too.
I like that. Yeah.
But you know what? You know, it's somebody, you know, I feel like there was a woman. And since we're talking about women, it's Women's History Month. So I'm glad to have a woman in comedy that can relate. And you remember the early days of comedy on the big screen. There was a few people that really paved the way. The woman from Cheers. She was the bartender of Cheers. She was in the movie Sunset Park with
Rhea
talent.
Perlman?
Yes, there you go. She Rhea was a Perlman. Comedian, but that kind of was like imagine her doing stand-up. Like, probably would have killed, like, because she, in that movie, like, epitomized comedy. And Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi. Now, that's a thing. That's another person that people sleep on. I feel like people associate Whoopi with Ghost more than like her whole, like, you know what I mean? Or like Sister Act, which are dope movies. But like she was really good. I feel like, I wish they did Comic Relief again. I don't know if y'all remember in the 80s, they used to do Comic Relief and it was Whoopi, Robin Williams, and like all the big heavyweights will raise money. And I feel like they don't really, I wish that like comedy mix it up more. Meaning like, I feel like you see famous lineups and either they're all white or they're all black. What happens to like mixing? There's no tour. I want, when things clean up, you know, I want comedy tours that are like, shit, put everybody up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I get what you mean. I get what you mean. More diverse. And speaking of the diverse, what about, y'all remember Kelly Park from In Living Single, not Living Single, In Living Color. She was the comedian. She was the comedic actress. She was in a lot of the skits. And she, you know, she was also
Kelly Cofield.
She was on Martin also.
Yes.
Kelly Cofield.
Yes, Kelly Cofield Park. She got married, my fault. So I didn't get her name right. But Kelly Cofield.
Kim Coles was amazing. And
Kim Coles was amazing.
Yeah, and that's like, even what was I watching the other day where it's like, oh, well, you found out, I don't know if you saw the article, Deborah Wilson said that she quit Mad TV
because
she wasn't getting
read that
as newer white comics. Get the fuck out of here. What?
That's crazy.
So you know what?
I read
that's
that article.
That's a good segue. Do you feel like women in certain situations do get paid less when they're on the show? You've been on a lot of shows. You've gotten paid, and you know when you be like, oh, okay, I'm featuring, or oh, I'm headlining. But I'm just, that happens. So what's your take on women getting paid less in comedy?
Hold on, real quick before you answer that, Zilla. When you know you're funnier.
Yo, you just changed
then, then the motherfucker who has their name up there and you know you're killing it and you see what happening, address that. I'm sorry. I just had to say that.
No, that was perfect.
No, that's perfect. So I think this is twofold here. So I'm gonna take it into two directions real quick. The first and foremost thing is, I think women are eager to take less money because we're so rarely booked to begin with. So do you get what I mean? Like, well, the opportunities are fewer and far between. So we probably are more eager to take less money, and we might not even be playing in the financial level that we are supposed to, because a lot of times it's not like dudes is just ready to tell you, yo, I get paid more than you, you know, like this shit done hush hush. So you, when you do see it, it hurts because you would imagine that's what's going on anyway. You know what I mean? Like it starts with, so now I'm gonna take it even further back. I think more venues need to be black, brown owned. I think more venues need to be more diverse, because then they will book better lineups. The best lineups I've ever been on have been from people of color, the producers, and they step to it and they're like more open-minded. But I think right now, especially in New York, it breaks my heart. New York used to be such a diverse city, and there was places like, you could go in Brooklyn and do comedy at a jazz club or another thing. All of those places have shut down. So right now, if we're not playing with a very, very white, big room game, do you know what I mean? All of the big venues, like, do you know what I mean? So it's weird because it's like there's gender involved, there's race involved, access. You know, if I never get booked for a show in a club and they never see me, they never gonna know about me. But if they only their friends, do you know what I mean? It's all there's so much.
I think you embody that too. Like, you, I think you embody that spirit. Like, oh, y'all gonna put me on this show? That's fine. It's like that chip is always there, and it's not intentional. That's just how you roll, and I see it in the confidence and how you do stand up and things like that. So yeah, that's real. No, that's real.
I mean, I just wish also too, like, another sad thing is, if you see a lot of the flyers that's going up now, it's a return to, like, I fought anytime I used to produce live comedy, I used to like fight, like, be like, nah, you got to book it this way. You need to represent all people. Mm-hmm. That's this person. You saw this person on that show. You never had this type of comic before. Bring them up. You know, like, keep it like fresh and everybody working together. Yeah. But then you be seeing shows and it's like three dudes that all they tell the same fucking jokes. They're all like, I was on Tinder, like three dudes in a row. And you're like,
yeah, this is really? Like,
come on.
Even on a base level, to have a true love of comedy is to know, you book one person that does one-liners. You put one person up that does long stories. Then you put another person up that does all sex stuff. The lineup's supposed to be like fun, you know?
Yeah. In comedy, you know, you're known for a lot of ways. Virtual stand-up, producing shows, being seen in the comedy circuit. And those are the great nights. But let's talk about a night where you possibly have bombed. And we all got one. Mine was in Broadway Comedy Club, the Richard Pryor Room. You know, that's that downstairs, the big room. I was opening up for Keith Robinson, was headlining. Keith Robinson was the manager of Kevin Hart at the time. Monroe Martin, that was my homie, still is my homie. He was hosting it at the time. And I ain't even gonna lie. You know it's bad when you hear the conversation in the back. All right, so what the fuck are we gonna do? What are we doing after this? This motherfucker right here. And I can hear their conversation on stage. And this was like 2008. But like, I was like, I gotta take this a little more serious. But what was yours? Share with us.
Oh, I've had two that I think of at the up at the top. But the last one was like right before things shut down in the city, so it sucked like a little extra because it was like you need to like, you ever seen in the movies when they be doing Santeria and they be burning the like sage and like you need to cleanse, you know, like you bomb and you're like, yeah. I need to clean up, you know, it's like,
yeah.
You know, so like I had a bomb and then we went into the lockdown and I was like, fuck, I guess I'm just living with that bomb. But it was like the second to last show I did before the pandemic, a dude was rip roaring drunk and one of the hosts thought it would be funny to continue giving this dude alcohol, like, you know. And then he started, like, pretty much the host thought it was funny that they had a drunk heckler, so he kept sending him drinks. And by the time I got to him, he was like gone, like,
fuck, imagine, like, right? Smacked.
So I go up, I'm telling my, at this point, I know I'm walking into a bomb. So I'm like, let me do all my top shelf shit. It didn't matter. As soon as I started talking, so I'm like, hey guys, he goes, bah, 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 bah. And he said, sorry. And I started going again, and he goes, bah, 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 bah. Bro was trolling me so hard. And I was like, this is it. Like, top bomb ever, because I like just died on the inside. I'm like, fuck, now I gotta do this shit for like seven.
Right? Well, now I got two more questions for you. Okay. One is, with the cancel culture, are you one of those comedians that are you conscious of what you say, like down to the T? Do you like adjust, like, damn, I can't say this, or are you just more so, I'm gonna say it. You know, I'm gonna live in that truth. We saw the Patrice O'Neal documentary, which was amazing. Y'all need to go watch that. It was about being in your truth. But it's the cancel culture. Dr. Seuss just got canceled, sis.
You know, get canceled.
For books this motherfucker did about 30 years ago, 45 years ago. But are you conscious more now due to the climate of the world, the state we're in right now with comedy?
So there's many things here. I don't ever intend to harm people. You know what I mean? So like, if I ever said something that like, but like insulted someone and they told me, I would try to, you know, like reconfigure. You know what I mean? If I could try to make it or whatever. I don't think cancel culture exists. I think it only, this is a longer thing, but like pretty much like Dr. Seuss is fine. They just changed the thing where they would do in the schools where they will always celebrate his birthday as like a, almost like a holiday. Like every school.
That's a fact.
Yes. Every school in the district would celebrate his birthday and they just looking into it and saying, wow, you know, maybe not so much. He did some, like, you know, he drew some give shit. But what I will say about this is I think a lot of times cancel culture is because of lack of diversity. So why, instead of me like worrying about getting canceled, I'm just trying to make sure that I create an environment where everybody feels like they have their say. Cause I think that's what it really boils down
to.
Going back to what Jay said. Yep.
Yeah. So it's, but at the same time, also I come from a time where like people would catch hands for some shit they said.
Facts.
And that's illegal now.
Facts.
I'm not condoning violence. But I do think people say some crazy shit on Twitter because they know nobody gonna roll up to their house and fucking punch them in their face.
Exactly.
That's why I love her. Because she said, because
exactly.
It
warmed my heart to hear you say it.
So do I think if someone says some really stupid shit about people of color on their Twitter and someone goes and tells their worker, their boss, like, yo, you gotta talk to them. They gotta get spoken to.
Word.
Not fired, but people gotta.
Right.
you know, you, I feel like there's a weird thing, yo. So like real quick, I live in Rockaway, Queens, and I joined like a Rockaway, like on a joke, a Rockaway Facebook Association, you know. Yo, people be wild racist online. Keep their names. Make a list. Fuck that shit. Tell them. Tell, you know what I mean? So it's like, I can't slander cancel culture. Yes, no, Dr. Seuss will be fine. People love Cat in the Hat, Green Eggs and Ham. That shit, you can't fuck with that. That's bars. But you, I think we just, you know, something is, can be fixed, fix it. He was drawing very ugly pictures of natives and shit like that. Yeah, take that book out of my kid's school. You know, I don't know.
We don't need that bullshit. Yeah,
that doesn't mean no, never. You know, like that means like no Cat in the Hat ever again, or Grinch is canceled. No, you know, like, but yeah, I don't know. I wish they'd canceled Justin Timberlake though, because I'm still mad about Janet.
Word.
That one titty. That one titty still got you upset. That one titty.
Free Janet.
let the cancel culture get him. He did it to bring
right. As we know, 2021 is already, I mean, we already in producer mode. We in the summer already. If you a comedian, you trying to get booked for the summer, spring, what you got coming up? What can we look forward in 2021 for Zilla V in comedy?
So I was, before the pandemic, I was prepping for a 30-minute album, and I never got to do that 30 in a warm room, because right as I was at the point to workshop it, you know, start testing it, everything shut down. I did a portion of it in October. I did half, I did 15. But I would really love, by the end of this year, you will have me back, and I will tell you about my half hour or hour long recording, because I'm going to drop an album. Whether it happens online, because some people are doing that. They're doing the Zoom ones. They get a warm enough amount of laughter.
I did two of them last year. Why not? Go ahead. Do them.
And but I would really like to at least record the album in a, you know, a safe way that nobody, you know, if I had to be outdoors, I'm into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nice.
No, I appreciate you. You know, just for, you know, one, holding down comedy during the pandemic. I got to give you that general, just giving us a platform as comedians to come and perform and be seen and heard. Because that's what connected me to you the most, is you're not only doing it for yourself, but you're giving a platform for us to come on and be seen and heard and get our other opportunities that you never know will come with us. So I appreciate you always.
Oh, but thank you. And the feeling is mutual. Like, it's dope. I know we met once before, but it's like dope too. Look at, I feel like y'all are the best. I hung out with y'all.
You know, you got a tiny desk experience going on right now.
Yeah.
We was vibing online. That's cool.
but I promise you, you know, we're going to work together in the summertime. I got some stuff coming, so I would love to work with you on stage.
I would love that. You were traveling.
I would do it too.
Make sure you do us a favor. When you putting in that work, go steal the rest of those Dr. Seuss books. Those Dr. Seuss books. Because you know, we need contributions any way we can. And if you're stealing books like this, if you see them, take them. You know.
Make sure y'all support her. Make sure y'all support out to Stephanie Toussaint on the check-in, too.
What up, Steph?
Appreciate you.
Spice.
If y'all want to see more, I want to see more, but there's one way that I need you to do. Every Tuesday, she's on the Comedy Hub. Go to her page. She got her IG right there on her right under her name, Zilla V Nas on IG. Go to her page, follow her.
Thank
she got
so shows. Much.
Just damn near every day of the week. Not only just Tuesday. She on a hella show. So follow her. Cash App her. Send her. Just go to her shows. That's how you support. That's how you support somebody. You ain't gotta Cash App them for being. Go to her show, share her shit, and make sure y'all support her.
Thank you guys both for having me. This was so dope.
Anytime. Appreciate you, Zilla. Thank you for coming on.
Be safe. Love. I'll see you soon, all right? Yeah, that was Zilla V. Zilla Vodna. One more time. New York representing. She's based in Rockaway, Queens, but that's a Brooklyn native all day. New York native in comedy. But check out her show. Her show is fire. I got to get back on there too, Z. I got to get some time in, because the virtual helps us comics when we on the road. So like, make sure y'all tune in, support on Tuesday nights. But that was a dope interview. I'm glad I got
it. It was.
I'm
glad you got
it. I'm dead ass. I'm not just capping it, because you know how we say in the hood, we cap. She's somebody I would love to see live on the same lineup. Just the energy of with her on the stage.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. I agree 100%.
Jay, you ready for the prayer?
100. Yes. Yes, I am.
So, those that's just tuning in for the first time, you know, I had to make sure Tiff's Ain't This Some Bullshit segment got some love tonight, and we definitely talked about it, but. The pro tip is where we all get right. It's where we come out the negativity and we get right. So Jay, I need the pro tip heavy. Let's get it.
Yo.
Let's talk to us, brother.
All right. You know, as we're entering a new month, new opportunities, spring's about to get here. Like, we've been dealing with a lot. We're still unsure about a lot of things. I just feel like we need to make sure we go and chase what it is that we know we deserve. We got to go get it. We got to put this work in. We got to take the time to say, you know what? I may have been doing this, but it's now time for me to go get that. Like, I took a long time not doing this, or I missed opportunity. Like, I can't do that no more. I got to go get it. I got to go get it. So I want to say a big shout to my brother, Phil. He was talking to me and he put me on to something and I was like, bro, this is my pro tip for the show. So shout out to my brother, Phil Reynolds. Joe, we're going to talk about, I'm going to plug you with Phil because he's the person I talked to you about with some real estate stuff here in the city. So you looking for some real estate stuff, shout out to my brother, Phil Reynolds.
I'm taking my courses. I'm slowly. I'm on the path to greatness.
Yes. So here's the pro tip for today. Bravely face things that give you anxiety, for it is a disease of missed opportunities. Bravely face things that give you anxiety, for it is a disease of missed opportunities. You know, I see so many people and I hear so many people dealing with so much. We've dealt with a lot of death, a lot of sickness during this pandemic. A lot of people have been anxious, not knowing where their next meal is coming from, where their next opportunity is coming from. And we've had to reinvent ourselves, be innovative, go chase our bags in different ways, do things to help give us a renewed sense of purpose, a renewed sense of self. Sometimes we have to remove ourselves from the things that we may have appreciated to say we got to buckle down and focus in and be like, look, we got to get this happening. So we kind of have to remove ourselves. We got to focus on our studies a little more, focus on our family a little more, focus on our work. Y'all were both talking about it, UNZ, about focusing on the craft more, doing mm-hmm. things differently, which I never really may have done. Some of these things are new. They may have made you a little nervous. We would talk about things, Joe, and we both would be like, I don't know, I'm unsure, but you know what? Let's do it. We was unsure about the afterthought. And look where we are. How many episodes? What? Episode 26, 27 later?
Yep. That's a fact. And we're growing.
So, you know, we have to understand how real it is, be mindful of it, but we have to be brave in approaching it, doing it with our due diligence, because I refuse to miss out on my opportunity to be great. And that's what I always tell people. Let's not be good. Let's be great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we really on. We're going to face the things that give us anxiety or may make us feel a little uncomfortable, but that's the disease of missed opportunities, and we can't be taking any shorts anymore, period.
That's a fact. That's the pro tip with JP.
Yeah.
Run it back when you're working out, if you want to be inspired or you want to get that day going. Just, I don't care. That's what's dope. You can catch us on anchor.fm/... Yeah. Afterthought Podcast. All these episodes is up on YouTube and Facebook. We're not done. We got a little bit left. You know, we got it. We getting more positive. We had a great guest on.
Yes.
And I got to talk about my sports real quick.
Yes. You know, we got to do it.
Because the Knicks are the bright spot in NBA right now for the New York basketball scene. But I called out, and I said this, my team to watch, and I've been supporting them too, is the Phoenix Suns railroaded the Lakers last night. Now, I know the Lakers don't have AD. You know, Schroeder just came back. I'm just saying, Chris Paul has got them boys at 38 years old. He has got
38. Damn, why you say he's that old?
Chris Paul's 38, man. Chris Paul's 38.
Chris Paul's 35.
Chris Paul's not 35, is he?
Chris Paul was born 85. How much you want to make a bet, Joe?
Hold on. I don't know about that. Hold on.
We better drink.
I better drink. He's 35. You're right. He playing like the 38-year-old nigga in the gym. That's killing you. You know what I'm saying?
I'll take the Remy as you see on my hat. But yeah, he's killing that.
He's got them in a direction, and they got some nice pieces. I still feel like they have one player away from being a real championship, dominant. But you know, they can compete, and they can control them games right now.
You know what, Joe? I don't think they're necessarily one player away. I think they're 1 year away of development. Okay. I think they have enough pieces. I just don't know that when healthy, when the Lakers are fully healthy, when the Clippers are fully healthy, when you see what Philly's doing, I don't know if they have enough to win a championship right now. But I think, and that just comes with time. You got to realize, in year one of Chris Paul and Devin Booker, you know, finally getting this going, it takes time. For the most part, even Miami with the big three, they ain't win their first year. It took Spurs some time.
So who's your MVP?
Duncan and David Robinson.
Who's your MVP right now?
Of the league right now? It's got to be. It's between LeBron and Embiid.
Embiid is looking
different. Like he Euro stepping. He two dribbles from the 3-point line. Facts. Oh, he backing you down. He giving you dream shape.
Every game now. It's a different games. Now he's giving you that consistency where he's damn good. Yes. When you know when we talk about efficiency and we talk about that PP, you know, that per game and the stats, the ratios, the buckets. He is like damn near 38 points a game.
Yeah. And if I had a top five for the MVP, because I think it's LeBron and Embiid and everyone else. I know, shout to Javon. He's going to be happy to hear me say this. But the way James Harden has looked on Brooklyn, the amount of triple doubles, the man had a 30 and 15 and 13 or 14 with zero turnovers.
Are you saying what the question is asking? James Harden, MVP?
He's in my top five MVP voting. I gotta go LeBron and Embiid, like I said. Harden. Okay. I would be remiss to not mention this one person. That's the Joker. Because Jokic has been putting up big numbers, big numbers, and they are doing well, even with the turnover that they had, losing guys like Grant, you know, losing guys like, what was my man?
Just lost a lot of pieces. Lost some
pieces. Yeah, Denver lost me, but they got good young pieces too. It takes time for them to get comfortable. And I'm going to tell you who my sleeper number five pick is, Joe.
You got to give me your sleeper number five.
Wardell Stephen Curry.
They're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs.
Now, with Draymond having been hurt to start the season, no Klay Thompson.
Wiggins and my guy. My guy, his Oubre? Name. Yes,
Kelly Oubre. Who was missing every single 3-pointer he took in sight? First 15 games,
balling. Matter of fact, are they playing right now? Are they playing the Blazers right now?
Oh, they playing the Blazers tonight.
I'm on the West Coast. I'm gonna check the score. It's the second quarter. The Warriors are up 35-34 in the second. 9:03 left in the second quarter. It's still early. Dame Leonard getting off to a hot start. I'm seeing Curry as well.
Okay. So. So, you know, I would say those five have really been my top five MVP candidates.
Who's the worst team in the NBA? Would you say Houston right now?
Worst? Nah.
Houston, like, in a row, bro.
But Houston's had a lot of injuries. And the whole Harden situation.
Yeah, it's bad.
Threw Hornets them off.
The Hornets have been balling. LaMelo,
yeah. He's the real deal.
You said something, Philly. I want to see how teams is going to match up versus them in the playoffs, because that's when Ben Simmons is going to be even more dangerous. I don't give a damn if you can't shoot.
Agreed.
You still got to stay in front of him and stop him from getting to the lane. Because when he did a move the other night, he did a Euro step and slowed down halfway to the paint and dunked it with two hands. I said, shit, if you're doing that every time down, you don't need to fucking shoot a jump shot. Like,
you're right. And then what happens is that in the playoffs, when the court shrinks and they try what Philly's gonna make other teams do, you're gonna have to either bring the double to stop him and force him to kick it. And who's he kicking it to?
Tobias or Curry.
Exactly, Joe. We know the game, and those guys will take and make shots. And then, you wanna bring a big man, wanna come bring help? Oh, I'm throwing the lob to Embiid, and that's it. I saw
Embiid go through a three-player, three dudes on him, and he did a drop step counter into the three, went up over the top, and dunked the shit. So I'm like,
his footwork, like, how impressive is it to watch the game now and to see the skill of these bigs? To look at Embiid, to look at the Joker, and the footwork, the ability to move. The ability to step back on the off foot and then still hit jumpers and runners and turn around fades, jab step you and step back on a three and cash it. And he's just 7 foot. Like, it is unreal to see. It's amazing.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited for what's happening right now in the NBA. This has been a dope show. I'm glad we ended up with sports, because I know the folks been asking, yo, what's up with them Lakers? And they ain't shit. The Suns, the second best record in the NBA. That's what's happening.
Oh, man. To talk MVPs and not talk about my man Donovan Mitchell. Ooh. Shout to the city. Shout to my man
I don't believe the Jazz. I don't believe them every year. I don't. I think they play great in the regular season, and they'll be out by the semis. They'll be out by
second
the semis.
Round?
Yeah,
you second round.
Listen, what's going to happen is the Lakers are going to stay afloat and slip to the middle of the pack, and that's going to be dangerous when Anthony Davis comes back, because then you got to play them early, a 4 or 5 seed.
You're right, Joe.
3 or 6 seed. You don't want to play the Lakers that late in the season with AD coming back. So we'll see how it all comes up.
And one quick shout out on the sports tip.
Hold on.
I
was going to drop that Lloyd's carrot cake.
Oh, we're going to talk about that in a second. Aaron Boone. We praying for you, Aaron Boone. He had to get a pacemaker. Oh, yeah. The manager of the New York Yankees, our favorite team. You know, we Yankee fans up here.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to Aaron Boone. He got to get a pacemaker placed in, but they say he should be all right. He should be back within a few days, maybe a week recovery. And, you know, whenever you hear about issues of the heart, and health, and this is a former professional athlete.
Yeah, man, you got it.
For 15 years, man.
It's a lot of stuff in the atmosphere with the breathing and everything. Yeah. So I feel like it's more than, and you don't know what the complications can really be. But definitely pray for him and make sure.
Yeah,
our guy, because I need to go back to a Yankee game and see him doing all right, man. You know.
Yeah, man.
But so,
best wishes to him. Yes, indeed. You know the vibe. You know,
you see coming up in hours. You see it, man. Support them.
Springtime coming up.
Yep. Mother's Day
coming
up.
Come check us out in Riverdale. Check us out in Harlem as well.
Mm-hmm.
You go get your merchandise as well at Lloyd's Carrot Cake, man. Continue to support us.
And speaking of support, if you want to support
us, live and going.
Just go to the link is right there. Afterthought Podcast, Anchor FM, anchor.fm / the Afterthought Podcast / support. Just Google it. We're on all digital platforms. Google Play, Apple Music. We are everywhere. Shout out to Anchor, though.
And real quick, we might be coming on a little early next week. So make sure you're following us on the gram. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, on Twitter, all these things.
That's right.
Because we might be coming on a little early because my fearless co-host and leader here has another dope show lined up. So we running back to back. We giving you Afterthought. Then we giving you Joe's performance live. So
stay
tuned for more information.
Live from LA, Laugh Factory, First Impressions. We'll be doing their First Impressions competition. So I will be on there and I will be, it starts at 7, but I'm not sure the order and what everything is, but I'm gonna be dropping the details. So I said, fuck it. We're gonna drop it.
That's 10 o'clock Eastern. So we're gonna be in and out early. Yep. Then we're gonna make sure we go support Joe as he does
my homie, a New York native comic, Takara Williams, will be hosting this First Impression series. So make sure y'all look out for that. Show her some love. But yeah, we out of here. It's been a dope episode. Support the show. Follow us. See y'all next week. Earlier time. Same bat channel. Y'all be good.
You love know the vibes.
Peace.
Peace.